News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, 4:35 p.m. here on Friday afternoon, Friday. Some of you guys already have your car keys in hand. I know it. I can sense the momentum. You can feel the groundswell towards the parking lot as people are getting ready to head home for a weekend. And blessings on you. Hope you have a great one. Hey, listen, you might want to consider, so on the way home, you might want to stop for a bite to eat or take something home to the house for you. Or here's another idea. What about Saturday morning breakfast? You ever think about that? Saturday morning, you get up and you think, I don't want to cook something. I don't even want a bowl of cereal. I don't want a Pop-Tart. I want to run down somewhere that's got some food. And so I'm saying Just Love Coffee Cafe. Just Love Coffee Cafe has got two locations in our area. One's on Hughes Road in Madison. The other one's at South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. And they've got a breakfast, lunch, and dinner menu. But let me just tell you, the breakfast menu, good Lord, do you want the omelet, eggs, sausage, cheddar cheese, onions, peppers, tomatoes, tots, tater tots, sprinkled with black pepper, all inside of a waffled bread? I'm just saying it's incredible looking. That's one of my favorite things. I've had that, and it's great. Or how about the bacon tater, a hash brown waffle, cheddar cheese and bacon, sprinkled with black pepper, and served with a side of sour cream? And then the other thing is you got all kinds of other stuff, like you can even take the kids with you and let them get, maybe it's the Berry Berry Bowberry waffles or Fruity Pebbles cream waffles. I'm just saying they've got stuff there for Saturday morning breakfast along with the best coffee and all the usual gourmet coffees like macchiatos and cappuccinos and lattes and all that stuff. Listen, Just Love Coffee Cafe. I love going there. It's a great place to hang out. Great place to use the Wi-Fi, and certainly a great place for a cup of coffee and something to eat. Check them out. Hughes Road in Madison, South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. All right, so, Copper, you got clip two. Yes, you do. I see ready on the board. You are like just ahead of me. All right, so listen, here's the deal. We're talking about the spending. And by the way, I'll say this too. For the next few minutes, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. Give me your thoughts. Anything we've talked about today, what do you want to talk about? Just call in, give me your thoughts on things like the fact that we've got our legislature doing something on vaccine mandates, that the Supreme Court is taking up the Second Amendment, and that the Pelosi attempt to get Biden's spending spree passed failed again today. 866-494-9866. However, let me do this while I'm waiting to see if somebody wants to call in and talk about it. Copper, clip two is Joe Manchin himself talking about why he's opposed to voting for these bills, especially the big honking, why he's opposed to the spending bill that gives all the social wish list. Go ahead and play clip two.
The larger bill, $1.75 trillion, was released late last week. But behind the scenes, there have been a lot of discussions about making some changes, including dealing with prescription drug pricing, trying to lower the cost of prescription drugs. Those last-minute changes are expected to be added into the bill potentially sometime this week, suggesting now that both bills can get out of the House. Now, the question is the Senate and what will happen on the larger bill. Joe Manchin making crystal clear here, he is not ready to support that plan. He has concerns about its impact on the inflation, on debt, the growth of social programs. It's just a complete opposite view than most of his parties. And earlier at his press conference, criticized them for, quote, budget gimmicks that he says actually don't show the true cost of this bill.
As more of the real details outlined, the basic framework are released, what I see are shell games, budget gimmicks that make the real cost of the so-called $1.75 trillion bill estimated to be almost twice that amount if the full time is run out.
So what this suggests is that it's going to take some time to get Joe Manchin's support for the larger bill. They're going to have to make changes. They're going to have to continue to negotiate. And how long will it take to understand its true impact on the economy? Because that's what Manchin wants to know. What impact will this have on inflation, on debt, and the like? And is not ready to go ahead and vote yes. So, Victor, the way this could play out is they finalize the negotiations on the big bill. They vote in the House on both bills. And the infrastructure desk bill goes to the president's desk. He signs that into law. And then they still got to deal with Joe Manchin, and the question will be, can they get that across the finish line? And that's an answer we just don't have. We have a question we don't have an answer to just yet.
There you go. Stop there. All right. So I disagree with that guy in one place, not Manchin, but the commentator, the one who was providing the comment, the color commentary towards Manchin's press release or press conference. I disagree with him, and in fact, I agree with what Cameron Smith and I were talking about and disagree with that pundit. Here's the deal. I do not believe that they are going to wind up passing that infrastructure bill right now, not anytime soon, unless they're able to get the progressives to change their mind, not likely, or get the progressives to vote and have a guaranteed means by which the vote's going to take place on the big spending bill, the big social policy bill. See, here's the thing what happened, and they know it. That's what progressives know. If they let the agreed-upon bridge and road and infrastructure bill get voted on, everybody's going to go, oh, okay, sorry, we're done. Nothing to see here. We have no other bills to take up. And they know they're going to be left hanging, and they're going to sit there with egg on their face. And they are not willing, those progressives are not willing to have egg on their face. So that's not going to happen. Right now, it's not likely that the allegedly agreed upon bill, the one that does roads and bridges, not likely to happen right now, because they know as soon as they vote on it, if they haven't already gotten a vote on the social welfare bill, that they're not likely to ever see it. It'll go away. They'll lose all their leverage. Right now, the progressives know they're needed to get the agreed upon infrastructure bill done. And then once they vote on that, they won't be needed anymore, and they'll lose all their leverage. So Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal, who is the chair of the progressive wing of the Progressive Caucus of the Democrat House, she is saying right now on Twitter as of 12 minutes ago, 13 minutes ago, she says, the longer the Build Back Better Act is delayed, the more time the corporate interests have to derail these popular, necessary, and long overdue investments in working people, families, and communities. It's time to get this done for the people. Well, okay. Joe Manchin and a lot of other people disagree with that, Congresswoman Jayapal. So that's where it sits right now. The House has dropped the vote. I mean, dropped their plans to vote today. And that's, y'all, you have, I don't know if you have any idea how big that is. Because for Pelosi to say, we're doing it Friday, and then not be able to do it Friday? I'm looking at an article right now. This came off of Fox. This particular article quoting a congressman named Representative Blaine Lutkemeyer. I don't know where he's from. But he just basically said they haven't got the votes. He's the ranking member of the Small Business Committee. He says they haven't got the votes. I mean, GOP opposition to the president's legislation here is not its greatest threat. Its greatest threat is Democrats. Isn't that crazy? Democrats are what's standing between us and trillions of dollars of additional spending and debt in D.C. And here's the other piece. This is what caused it to fall apart today. I mean, how would you feel if someone gave you a 2,000-page book and told you to write a report on it by Friday and they gave it to you on Wednesday night? Not likely. Can I have the Cliff Notes? Is there a movie I can watch, something that tells me something about it? No. You got to read the whole thing. Or just go with it. Just make something up. Well, right now what's happened is lawmakers did not even get the bill until Wednesday night. 2,000-page bill. And it super frustrated a bunch of legislators. One Republican said, it's astonishing we just got a 2,200-page bill last night and we're expected to vote on it. It's amazing that they're trying to throw everything into it. And she said, it's a complete lack of transparency. Well, in that, we talked about it with Cameron Smith a while ago. There's supposed to be a score on the bill. Basically, it's the price list or the price tag. And the Congressional Budget Office has to do that. And so moderate Democrats in the House said they were not going to vote on that bill today. They were not going to do it without a CBO score. And if they don't have a CBO score to show their people back home, then they're not doing it. And just like, you know, Cameron Smith said, I thought wisely, the bottom line is that once the CBO score comes out, they might lose a few votes. Because then they're not just voting it to see what's in it. They're voting it and they can have that hung around their necks. All right, listen. Hey, if you want to call in, 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. Phones are kind of quiet for a Friday afternoon. Everybody must be getting ready for the big weekend. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at ZLA Solutions. This fits right into the fact that we've been talking about jobs this week, right? If you've got some concerns about jobs, if you're looking for a job, if you're looking for employees to fill out the ranks at your employee group, then just know this. ZLA Solutions is one of the best in the state right now of putting people back to work. You want a job? Go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. Check it out. They got jobs posted all over North Alabama. If you're looking to fill out the ranks of your business, go to ZLAUSA.com. They will do all of the background checks. They will do all of the drug testing, blue collar, white collar, no collar. It don't matter. That's what they do, and they're good at it. ZLA Solutions, they like to say, we don't make it, we make it better. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, listen, we're going to take a short break right now. When we come back, if you want to get on the phones with us, you can. 866-494-9866. And we'll do that for the last few minutes of the Friday as we head into an amazing weekend, knowing that we are one of the few states in the nation that actually has some legislation passed to push back on vaccine mandates. That our Supreme Court has taken up our Second Amendment rights. And that Nancy Pelosi can't write checks for Joe Biden. It's a good Friday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You can also find us at Listen Live, or Listen Live anytime by finding us at rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Just click Listen Live. Take us wherever you are, because there we are. And folks, by the way, I got to tell you, if you miss a part of the show, or if you want to repeat part of the show, or send somebody a clip from the show, we usually download all the show's segments and put them on our podcast form by the next morning or thereabouts. And you can go to our website, rightsideradio.org again, and you'll find it. And we've had like over 11,200 downloads just in the first few months of the show. And that's incredible. It's a testament to the fact that this show is hitting the mark and giving people what they're looking for. And I really appreciate that. I got a text here from David from Huntsville, talking about our segment we did today on the Second Amendment. Second Amendment, with the fact that we've got bills being filed in the Alabama legislature that would enhance the Second Amendment rights, but that law enforcement's opposing it. We got the Supreme Court of the United States taking up the question of Second Amendment rights. David from Huntsville texted me and said, "There will always be punks with guns and criminals. We'll always have guns. I say the more good people armed and the more the criminals know it, we will be safer. For our wonderful police, just assume that people are carrying." I totally agree. Well put, David. Dave from Huntsville on that. Got a caller online, too. Let me go ahead and grab Rita from Huntsville. Hey, Rita, Phil Williams on Right Side Radio. What's on your mind?
Hey, I had a thought. I'm not sure that this is what's going on at all, but wouldn't it be cool? You know, Senator Manchin and Sinema are the only two things that have been standing between us in this mess that they want to pass. And I've heard them say many times that why don't they just change parties because they're more Republican than they are Democrat? Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if they really were like Trojan horses?
Well, you know, that's funny you say that. And I'll tell you, I've thought about that with Joe Manchin. And then I got to thinking, what about Kyrsten Sinema? But if you look up her background, I mean, she was a Green Party and LGBTQ activist. I mean, she literally is. She is like, it's amazing to me that she's the one who's in the way for us right now.
Yeah.
Because everything else about her life is like super liberal. Joe Manchin, on the other hand, though, he calls himself a West Virginia Democrat. He's like one of those old school guys that he's still dancing with the one that brung him to the dance. But he by and large, he does seem to be fiscally conservative at the very least, Rita. Yeah, thanks.
Well, I thank God for that. And if he's a Trojan horse, I'm all for it.
I'm with you. Hey, Rita, thanks very much for calling in. You have a great weekend, and thanks for being in the audience. All right. Listen, if you want to call in, we got a couple minutes left. It's 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866 before we wrap up the week. I'm looking at some headlines, scanning through. So I see one. This is on Twitter. Jackie Heinrich, who reports for, she's a White House correspondent for Fox News. And she says right now that she's got progressive sources telling me they have roughly 20 members who will vote down the procedural vote on the bill. You remember I was talking with Cameron Smith a while ago. They have to go through what's called some procedural hurdles. We had them in Montgomery, too. We had what called the BIR, the budget isolation resolution. You had to actually vote that first before you could pass your bills. Well, right now they need to pass procedural bills or procedural votes in D.C. before they can get to the main bill. Jackie Heinrich is saying her sources are telling her as a White House correspondent that they have roughly 20 members of the procedure of the progressive group that would vote down the procedural vote. That's interesting. That's interesting. Got a caller on line three. Let me jump over to line three. Mark from Athens. Hey, Mark, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
I'm terrific, Senator. I would say Joe Manchin is doing what he's doing because Joe Manchin's been there a good while. And if you look at his record, when the Democrats are really stomping hard in Virginia, he's a hardcore Democrat. Now that he's read the tea leaves and seen, like this past election, with the governor, lieutenant governor, and the attorney general for Virginia, he's reading the tea leaves, so he's going to lean to the right a little bit. Because he's got to get reelected again in 2024, I believe.
I think you're right.
He swings with the wind because he's one of those, like you said, he's an old West Virginia Democrat. He knows how to play, kind of like some of our state and legislatures and state senators. You know, a lot of them were Democrats before the Republican wave came through, and they switched parties.
It's absolutely right. So, you know, Mark, I think you're right.
That's what I think Manchin's doing.
I think you're onto something. Now, Manchin, I'll be honest with you, Manchin was holding this line before we got to that Virginia election last week, but I think you're right. I think he did read the tea leaves. I mean, I think he realizes he doesn't want to be hitching his horse to the wagon of the Biden administration because they can't seem to get anything right, and he doesn't want to be fully associated with that. So I think, Mark, I think you're right in that regard. That's a good point, man.
The tea leaves. I think he read the tea leaves, and he was he had polling going on and saw it changing. That's why before we had the vote, he knew what was going on.
Well, Mark, I appreciate you. Great call. It's a good way to end the day, man. Listen, folks, it is it's been a full week. But if I had to say anything about this week, it's this. You have a legislature in Alabama that did step in and do something. Not everything we wanted, but they did something they didn't have to do because the governor didn't want to do it. But she had to sign it today, didn't she? Your Second Amendment rights are before your Supreme Court of the United States this week, and it's looking good. And then right now, Nancy Pelosi can't sign checks on behalf of our executive branch, the Biden administration. It's a good day to be a Republican. Folks, you have a great weekend. You got the great one, Mark Levin, coming up next. We'll be back on Monday. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.